page where my sins were written down, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb.
Aren't you glad that you don't owe anything? Even if you did, you couldn't pay it. Jesus paid our sin debt. Amen? Hallelujah. Paid in full. I love that. I love Brother Justin talking about just a closer walk with the Lord, because that's what I want us to talk about tonight. Open up your Bibles to the Epistle of James, James chapter 4. And the Lord laid this on my heart. You and I, as members of the body of Christ, you and I, as a part of the church of the Lord God, that the gates of hell are not going to prevail against. He wants to put it in our heart and get us ready to teach people how to draw nigh unto the Lord. Amen? And it's our job. It's our responsibility. Praise God. It's our opportunity to help somebody draw nigh unto the Lord. Amen? And so I know you've studied this many times, heard it preached many times, but a lot of times we skim over things and we don't really get to the nitty-gritty. And so I want us to look at this. We'll read one verse and then we'll just see where the Lord goes. James chapter 4, verse number 8. If you're there, say amen. Notice what the Word of God says. This is not an option, it's a command. Amen. A lot of things we look as options. It's not an option. It's a command. He said, draw nigh to God. Come on now. This is a command to us. It's a command for us to show the importance to those people around us. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. The strongest affirmation in the English language. Notice what He says. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Brother Whitney, would you pray?
Father, we just thank you for the word. We thank you for the prayer that is coming. Hear your word. Father, we bless you for everyone that hears. And let us have ears to hear.
Yes.
And eyes to understand. We just thank you for
yes,
it.
Lord.
In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Yes. Thank you so much. Glory. I love that, Brother Whitney. That's what I was praying, standing right up here. I was thanking God that He made the seeing eye and the hearing ear. Amen. Glory. And by the anointing of God, we can hear what we need to hear. Now, I want us to think about this. And today, as you and I look around this world and we look around people who are running to and fro, there's so many people that are disconnected. They're trying to find their place. They're trying to find their spot. They're trying to figure out what their life is all about. They don't recognize and realize that they've got to be connected to the vine. They've got to be connected to Jesus Christ. And so they're empty on the inside, and they're doing all the things that they can to try to satisfy that place. You and I, we know all about it. We try to satisfy that empty spot. It can't be satisfied. Only Jesus will fit in that spot. And so, Sister Anna, put John 15:7, I believe it is, on the screen. I want us to think about what Jesus said. The Gospel of John chapter 15, I believe it's verse number 7, he makes this statement. He says that we need to abide in Him. He said, if you abide in Me and My words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. God's got a will in this earth. And unless you and I are in the place and the position where we're abiding in Him and letting His Word abide in us, and we're praying for this harvest. Jesus said, pray ye for the laborers of the harvest. Amen? Come on, we need to be praying for each other because we are those laborers. But we need to know that we can ask according to the will of God and He will give us what we need. What do we need? We need to be doing the works of Jesus. Jesus said in John 14:12, He said that you and I are to be doing the works that He done. And not only those, but greater works. The reason why we can do those is because we're in a place where we're drawing nigh unto God and we're showing, we're leading other people by example how to draw nigh unto God. Look at the next verse, verse number 8. Herein is My Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be My disciples. We're not going to bear fruit unless we draw nigh unto God. We've got to be connected. Jesus said, abide in the vine. And so tonight, you and I, we've got to make sure that every area of our life is connected to Jesus. And that way we can help other people be connected. If they're connected to Him, they will fill up with Him. Amen? They won't fill up with the things of the world, but they'll fill up with the things of God. And so tonight I want you to know that Jesus said in the fifth verse of this same chapter of John, he said that you can do nothing unless you abide in him. I think it's verse 5, John 15, 5. And I'm the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So we got to draw nigh unto God where we can do what God called us to do. That do nothing, it means to take, and if you put a vacuum on this building and pull the oxygen out. It's like when you put Freon in an air conditioner system, you got to pull the vacuum first. You pull everything else out before you put what needs to be in. That's what God wants to do to us. He wants us to draw nigh unto him. He'll pull all the things out of us, but then he'll put everything in us that you and I need, that we preached about, talked about Sunday night, the benefits of God to be able to do the will of God. Amen? So let's look at some things here. I want you to be so encouraged. Now notice what he said. He said, draw nigh unto God, and he will, he shall, without a doubt, draw nigh unto you. Now tonight, as you and I are sitting in this building, we've got to recognize and realize that God's everywhere. God is after your heart. The devil's after your heart. God's after the world, but the devil's after the world. He has them, amen? But Jesus is everywhere. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, the Godhead, is omnipresent. Amen? You cannot go anywhere without them. As a matter of fact, the chair that you're sitting on, Colossians chapter 1, verse 17 tells us that Jesus Christ is holding up that very chair that you're sitting on. So when somebody comes to you and they say, hey, I don't know where God is, I don't know how to find him, you can tell them he's holding up the chair that you're sitting on. Come on now. God's not way off in heaven. God's in the middle of your heart. And you have the ability, I have the ability tonight to help somebody else draw nigh unto God, because God's right here. He's with us, amen? He's in you. He's in me. He's in his church. And so what we want to do is we want to be in the place where we can teach them that. Hold your place here in James and go to the book of Acts, Acts 17, and let's see what the Word of God says about where God is. Acts 17, starting in verse 24, look what it says. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Ain't you glad of that? He used to have a temple, but now you're the temple. Amen? So you can draw nigh to God anytime you want to. You don't need a priest. You don't need a preacher. You don't need anybody. All you need to do is shut out the world and say, Lord, here I am. I want to draw nigh unto you. And Lord, you made the heaven and the earth. And so I can help somebody else draw near to God, because I can tell them, look at this sunrise. Look at this sunset. Look at that moon shining. God Almighty made that, and he made it for you. Come on, the Bible says that he made the earth for his children. It's for us. And so the devil doesn't own anything, and we want to help people to draw nigh unto God, and we do that by telling them who God is. Look what it says. Drop down to, well, let's go ahead and read through this. Verse 25, neither is God worshipped with men's hands as though he needeth anything, seeing he to give us to all life and breath, and all things. This is how we help people to draw nigh unto God. We tell them who God is. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. But notice this, verse 27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. That's what you can tell people. God's not a long ways away. He's not 100 prayers away. He's not 1,000 Hail Marys. Come on. God is right nigh your heart. He's right nigh my heart. And so when God's moving on somebody, somebody's questioning about how they can meet God, how they can find Jesus, how they can come to a relationship with God, you and I, we're going to have the ability, we're going to have the anointing, we're going to have the Word to be able to instill them and point them right to the place where they can come to the throne of grace by the blood of Jesus. Amen? That's what this is all about. You and I, we're in the greatest time to live. The prophets in the Old Testament, they desired to live where you're living right now. because they knew that Jesus was going to be manifested. They knew the fulfillment of all the Word was going to come to pass. And we get to be a part of it. Amen? Now let's think about this just for a second. He said that for in Him, in God, we live and move and we have our being. What a message to tell people. Come on, we could tell them, this world has nothing to offer you. It's going to go away. It's going to burn with fire. But I can introduce you to the One who made it. And in Him, you are have the ability not just to live now, but you have the opportunity to live forever and ever and ever. In Him, you can have peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. In Him, you can have a God who will be your shepherd. And He'll meet your needs. He'll take care of you. He'll fellowship with you. He'll talk with you. He'll hold you. He'll listen to you. Amen? But He'll also give you a plan for your life. I don't know about you, but I need God's plan. I need His will. I need His direction in every moment of my being. And in Him, I know that I can move. Look what that word said. It said, for in Him we live and we move. The devil's not going to stop you and I. He's not going to put us in a jail cell. He's not going to hinder us because we serve a God that is alive and well. He's on the throne, but He's on the throne of your heart. Amen? And we've got a job to do, and that job is to draw nigh unto God, but to help other people draw nigh unto God. And we're going to do it because it's by His grace. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 4. Look what it says. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. Notice this. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, this is why we came here. Verse number 6, Ephesians 4, 6. There is one God and Father of all. Oh, glory. Now, there's a little G of this world, but He's going to what? He's going to go into the lake of fire one day, but right now He's done under the feet of Jesus. Amen? Jesus has then destroyed the works of the devil, Hebrews 2:14, and you and I are drawing nigh to God, and the closer we get to God, the higher that we get in Jesus, and the higher that we get in Jesus, the more freedom, the more liberty, the more victory we have, no matter what's happening. Amen? One God, one Father of all, who is above all, now notice this, and through all, but look at that last part of the verse, mark it down in your Bible, and in you all. Where's God? How do I draw nigh unto God? I just shut the world out. Amen? He's right here. He's in me. He's in you. And that's what we can tell people. You want to meet God? Hey, I can take you right to the throne. Not because of me. You can take them right to the throne, not because of you, but because of the Holy Ghost using you to draw them to that place. Amen? He's in us. Why should we fear? We have nothing to fear. Come on, if God is in you, come on, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. God's in you, amen? You have nothing to fear. You lack nothing. The Bible says when you walk uprightly, you lack no good thing. Amen? God's a giver of good things. This is how we can help people draw nigh unto Him, and we want to tell them that. Now, let's go back to the book of James, and let's go just a little further in this. Notice what he said. This is so exciting to me. He says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Now, he makes this statement, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Now, we'll talk about that more in just a minute. But the way that we help people see that they draw nigh to God, God's a holy God. Amen? As a matter of fact, just hold your place there. Turn over here just to 1 Peter chapter 1, just a page or two. And look what it says in verse number 16, 1 Peter 1:16. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Talking about God. Amen? Your God, my God, our Lord, our Savior, He is holy. He's sacred. He's pure. He's undefiled. Amen? And He said, because He's holy, that you and I are to be holy. Now, notice that. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Now, what does that mean to you and I? When we were lost and undone, we were in sin. But when we got born again, you and I stopped being labeled a sinner, and we got labeled a saint. Amen? And so when the devil tries to tell you and I that we're a sinner, we say, you can be what you want to, devil. I'm going to be what God says. God said, I am forgiven. I am washed. I am cleansed. And I am a saint. A saint simply means I've been set aside. Tonight, you've been set aside. You're precious to God. You're precious in His sight. You have a call. You have an anointing. You have something to do, and that's to help somebody else to draw nigh unto God. Amen? But because of this holiness, then you have the opportunity to be what God said. God said, be holy like I'm holy. Now, we're trying to preach a series on Sunday morning about being. Amen? We got one of them done, and the Lord's had other things in mind. But being, that's what the word here, it means. It means to generate. You see, when you got born again by the word of God, the incorruptible seed, it come in your heart. And it started generating the will of God, the plan of God. You are the DNA of God. You are no longer your own. Amen? You're bought with a price. And you're becoming more like Christ. Every day that you say yes to God and no to sin. Every day you say yes to God and no to the world. Every day that you say yes to God and no to the flesh, you get freer. You get more, your testimony, your light gets brighter. Amen? And you're helping people to see the way to God. Glory. Now let's see how we can do this. So go back. Let's reread it again. And James 4:8, he said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That word nigh simply means near. You realize that God wants to be near you? He wants to be so close to you that your breath is in his face and his breath is in your face. See, the breath of God is simply the pneuma, the Holy Ghost. The breath of God is the Word of God, because it says, the Bible says, Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said, all Scripture is divinely breathed. See, God wants to breathe that Word on you. He wants you to breathe it in and it come in you, and you get closer to God because you recognize and realize that everything God has for you is good. And when you take in more of God, you let go of some of the old. You let go of the old way of thinking, the old way of talking, the old way of reacting. Amen? Oh, victory. Victory is yours. Victory is churning inside of you and I. Now, notice he said here, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, this is the key to the holiness of God, letting it come in your life. Now, you and I, we work with our hands. And we can do good with our hands or we can do evil. Amen? We can do positive, we can do negative. But our hands are controlled by our mind. So it does very little good. There's so much teaching, so much preaching, so much emphasis put on the action. You're not going to change anybody's action unless you change their heart. The way God changed your actions, the way he changed my actions, was he touched her heart. He changed her heart, amen? Because your heart is what controls your hands. Your heart is what controls your tongue. Your heart is the way you're going to go. As a man, as a woman, as a boy, a girl thinks in their heart, so are they. Because as you think in the heart, that's what you're going to speak. Come on, Proverbs 23:7. Matthew 12:34, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're going to say what's in your heart. And what you say, James chapter 3 tells us, is going to be that very anchor on the rudder on your ship that's going to turn your whole life. Amen? So we've got to let God take care of the heart. So when we lead somebody to God, we tell them, listen, you come the way you are. Bring all your sin. Bring it all. Bring it all. I don't care. I want to see this church full. And I don't care what they look like. I don't care what they're doing. Because Jesus can clean them up. You and I can't clean them up. All we can do is pray for them. All we can do is be an example. But if we're here and they're here and the Holy Ghost is here, amen, and he's going to be here because you're going to bring him, I'm going to bring him, we have an opportunity to cause them to come to this altar. And as the Holy Spirit draws them to this altar, we'll meet them here. And as we meet them here, we know God's going to meet them here. And we're going to help them draw nigh unto God. As they draw nigh unto God, all of a sudden, they're going to be aware that there's a holy presence. They're going to be aware that there's a freedom right here. They're going to be aware that those things that they thought was so good, so enticing, exactly what they wanted, they're going to see them. They're going to smell them. They're going to feel them. They're going to understand them for what they are. A lie. A lie. You and I are going to be in a place and a position. We're going to see people washed in the blood of Jesus. And those things that has them bound, they're going to get up. And when they stand up in the Lord, that sin is no longer going to dominate them, going to have dominion on them. They're going to find freedom, and we're going to be a part of it because we're going to help them draw nigh unto God. We're going to show them. And when they draw nigh unto God, they what? They'll be clean. They'll be clean, and it'll be a process. Every time they come to the Lord, they'll get more and more free. They'll have more and more victory. You and I, we're not going to try. See, so many people get run off from church. They get run off because people try to tell them, listen, you need to dress this way, you need to talk this way, you need to do this, and you need to do that. Let the Holy Ghost do it. He'll show them Jesus, amen? He'll help them. You and I, it took a long time for us to get where we're at, and we're still not where a finished product, amen? But we're on our way. We're on our way. Let's let the Lord do it. And so we let them draw nigh unto God, and all of a sudden, as they meet God, they start seeing some things. They start seeing that there's something better. Right now, the world isn't seeing something better. They're seeing people tell them what they need to do and what they need to be, and they're seeing aught in our lives. Come on, they're seeing a beam in our own eye, and they're saying, hey, I can be just as good as they are. Now, you and I, we got to be in the place where we show them love. Love is what's going to bring this harvest in. Love is what's going to change them. But they'll never come to the God of love unless you and I are walking in love. Unless we're doing what He told us to do. Amen? Now, I want you to get excited with me. Go back to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want you to see what's working inside of you tonight. Glory. Hallelujah. Now, first of all, we'll start reading about verse 13, 1 Peter 1:13. But I want to make this statement. I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget it. Matthew 15:8, Jesus made this statement. He said, the people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor of me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That was so important that Mark reiterated that. That's in Mark chapter 7 as well. So it tells us that it's an important statement. God wants our heart to be right. Now, a lot of times people looked at our lives, or at least I can't speak for you, I can speak for me. They looked at me and they said, man, he ain't never going to get past that. But God didn't look at it that way. God looked and He saw my heart. My heart was that I wanted deliverance. I wanted victory in Jesus. I just hadn't figured out how to accept it, how to receive it. Amen? And so while other people looked at that and they said, nah, He'll never change. You know, God knew what He was doing. And God was giving grace. He was giving mercy. And so we want to give grace and mercy to all of those around us. Amen. They may not be moving as fast as you and I would like it, but guess what? They're moving. They're moving. God's changing the inside. Everything changes on the inside before it changes on the outside. Amen? Now notice, I want you to get excited with me. Look at verse number 13. 1 Peter 1:13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, this is how you and I help people draw nigh unto God. He said, cleanse your hands and purify your minds. How are we going to help them do that? We're going to tell them it's by God. They have to be willing to do it, but if they'll let God and they'll put their hand in God's hand, it'll happen. Amen? Every time. Now, He said, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Now, what's loins? Remember we talked about it as we were studying the armor of God. Loins is the procreative power. In other words, as a man or a woman thinks in his heart, what you're thinking in your heart is going to be the direction of your life. Amen? So He said, gird up the loins of your mind. So how do I draw nigh unto God? I gird up my mind. When the devil starts saying, you're never going to change. You're never going to make it. You're not going to overcome. When the devil tells you that your children are going to hell, when the devil tells you that your the job is gone, when the devil tells you that you have no hope in getting out of this situation, out of this circumstance, I gird up my mind. You gird up your mind. And we help people that we're bringing to the altar the same way. They say, listen, you know, we prayed right here with a young man. He come and he got born again as sure as we're standing here. The devil hit him before he got to the car. He has not been back. Does that mean we don't pray for him? Sure, we pray for him all the time. And God started a work in there. And when God starts a work, He said He promised that He would finish it. Amen? And so we're believing that God's going to bring that young man back. Right now, he's battling demons. Right now, he's battling addiction. But guess what? Jesus Christ is above addiction. He's above demons. He's above all sin. And you and I are going to gird up our mind. And we're going to pray for that young man. And we're going to believe that Jesus is going to reveal himself to him time and time again. And of the it may be the thousandth time, but he's going to repent. He's going to come back and it's going to be made right. Amen. That's the God that we serve. So we gird up our minds. We're not going to believe any to go to hell. We're going to believe that God will save them. Amen. We've got to get a mentality of a Savior. We've got a mentality of a devil. We've got a mentality that sin is greater than a God that's so loving that he sent Jesus to deliver them. Amen. We've got to change the way we think. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. Stop being influenced externally. Come on now. That's how you stay sober. How do you get drunk? When you take something from the outside and you take it inside, you get drunk. Amen? Or you get high or whatever. Or if you take it in other stuff, you get aroused. Come on now. Let's just be honest. Amen? So he said, be sober. In other words, everything that you and I have, we draw nigh to God. We let the truth come up and it influences. We don't get drunk on this world. Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. He said, those who sleep, sleep in the night. Those who are drunk, they're drunken in the night. They don't know what's going on. But we're children of the day, amen? We're not children of the night. We're children of the day. And we're serving a God that is full of light. And so right now, we gird up our minds and we help people, help them to be sober. And look what the Word said. And to have hope to the end for the grace that is brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The grace of God is sufficient. The grace of God is enough. Come on, that's what the Apostle Paul said by the unction of the Holy Ghost. God's grace saved you. God's grace is going to keep you. God's grace is working in us, and it's going to be in the prevalent power of you and I being used to bring people to this altar. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. So the message is, come like you are. Come on, come, let me help you to draw nigh unto God. Let me show you that there's an answer, that there's a grace that will meet you where you're at. Don't you love that? God didn't say, come on up here where I'm at. He sent Jesus and he come down where I was at. Come down where you was at. He met us in that place of grace. Now notice what it said. He said that this grace would bring more revelation of Jesus Christ. Come on, the revelation of Jesus Christ is what we're talking about, drawing nigh unto God. See, you and I, just because we've read a scripture, maybe we've read it 100 times, that doesn't mean that we have depleted that scripture. No, we just got to a point in a place where you can receive a greater detail, depth of that scripture. Amen? A place where he can talk to us like he's ever talked to us before. All right. Verse number 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself, don't conform yourself, in other words, according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which has called you holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Now this conversation is not just speech, it's a manner of life. Now, God Almighty, just by the unction of the Spirit of God, called us to be holy in our manner of life. But did he ever ask you and I to do something that he wouldn't empower us to do it? See, this is how we help people. The Spirit of God draws them to the altar. We help them draw nigh unto God. And there's no doubt there's going to be somebody that's going to talk to you and they're going to say, but I do this. But I've got this in my heart about this person, about this loved one, or about this boss. Come on now, let's get real. We're preparing. God's preparing us for a harvest. He's preparing us to show us what to do. And they're going to say that to you. And you're going to say, wait a minute. I remember what the Holy Ghost said to me. I remember what the Scripture said. The Scripture said, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. I can tell them. It's by the grace of God that you can be holy. It's not you having to try to drum it up or try to make it happen. It's by God's grace. Because God commanded you to do it. He's going to anoint you to do it. Amen? And as you do that, all the pressure comes off of them. Now, if I had somebody to explain this to me, when I first got saved and started going to church, I'd be so much further ahead. Now, not that I didn't have good people around me, but I didn't understand it. I didn't receive it in this reality. I received it that I kept beating my head against the wall. Someday I'll make it. Someday I'll get past. Guess what? I never did. But when the grace of God becomes so real, that's when I got past it. That's when I got victory. Amen? That's when we'll help them to get victory. Notice what he says. Verse number 17. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judges according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. Now, this is how we help them. We help them draw nigh to God, and we tell them that as they draw nigh to God and they keep their heart at this altar, they're going to be able to live their life in, not in fear, that's a bad translation, in reverence. In reverence. In other words, they're going to get up from this altar, and because they have accepted the blood, we'll talk about that in just a minute, they take that blood with them, and they take Jesus with them. Amen? And that reverential awe is there inside of them, and all of a sudden, they go back out into the world, and here they meet sin, just like they have met so many times before, but now they've got the blood. Now they've got the grace. And all of a sudden, something happens. They're able to have a backbone against some of those things that just rolled over them before. Amen. And why does it happen? It's because you and I say, God, I'll help them. I'll help them draw nigh unto you. I'll show them who they really are. I'll show them what the blood means. I'll show them what having a Savior means. I'll show them what it means to have a shepherd in their life. Amen. That's our message. That's what we're to do. Now, stay with me just a minute. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, oh, glory. Hallelujah. Think about it. You weren't redeemed. You weren't ransomed. You weren't bought back with corruptible things. Amen. And when we lead up to this altar, it's going to be the same way with them. Now, notice what it says. As silver and gold from your vain conversation, your empty behavior, received by the tradition from your fathers. But what were you redeemed by? Verse 19. But with the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, hallelujah. Now, nothing can stop the blood of the Lamb. Not one thing. The blood of the Lamb overcome all things. The blood of the Lamb is what you were redeemed by, what you were bought back by. The blood of the Lamb, it abideth forever. It's not like the yearly sacrifice that just rolled back sin. It's not like the animal sacrifice that was only just a covering. Come on, the blood of Jesus washes away sin. The blood of Jesus changes you, changes me, and that's our message. That's our message to people. This is how you gird your mind. This is how you change your mind, purify your mind, where all of a sudden your hands become cleansed because you do different things. Amen? Come on. The Bible says in James 1 that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That you and I, we can't go back and forth. And we got to help other people not go back and forth and show them there's a way. There's a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof is death. There's a way that's right to God, and it's life. Amen? It's a victory. So I want you to be in the place and the position where you see this verse one more time. Now, notice with me. But with the precious blood of the Lamb, without blemish and without spot, that's what you were redeemed by, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, was made manifest in these last times for you. Now, let's think about this blood just for a minute. Now, what does this blood do? What can we tell them about? 1 John 1:7, one of my favorite verses of Scripture. It says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, talking about Jesus, and we have fellowship one with another, notice this, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's what the blood's doing. Amen? That's what you've been redeemed by. That's what we're going to lead them to. Amen? Cleanses from all sin. Now, this is not just, you're going to sin again. And we've got to tell them they're going to sin again. They don't want to, but they're going to. But we have an advocate. That's what this is all about. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Amen? And we've got to help people not to fall away just because they make a mistake. This blood is there, it's real, it's true, it's genuine, but it's continually working. And what the blood does, Revelation 12:11, what the blood does is the key to the victory. You know this verse, everybody knows it, Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him, the devil, by the blood of the Lamb. Come on, the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death, but they overcame. The blood of Jesus causes you, causes me, to overcome. Amen? And so what we tell people, listen, because you made a mistake, that doesn't mean you failed. Come on, this, we got to help people. I'm telling you now, Jesus helped us. He walked with us. He held our hand over and over and over again. And God wants to get us in a place and a position to be able to take other people by the hand and lead them where He's led us. Amen? I want you to know what we can do. We can do what needs to be done by the grace of God. Amen? It's not us that's doing it, but it's that blood. That blood is working. The Bible's, what is it? Hebrews chapter 12. Tells us about the blood of Jesus somewhere. Hebrews chapter 12, maybe verse 24. 20. Look what it says. Hebrews 12, 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Jesus' blood speaks. Oh, that makes me want to run. Jesus' blood speaks. What does that mean? Come on now. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. The blood of Jesus talks. Here comes the devil. The Bible says that you have an accuser. Come on, the devil's your accuser. And he gets before God and he starts talking about all the bad things about you, about me. He, in my case, he's got a lot of things to talk about. But he also is a liar. Amen? And he lies continually. The Bible says there's no truth in him. But I got the blood of Jesus. You got the blood of Jesus. All of a sudden, he starts bringing condemnation on you and I. And he starts trying to stop the plan of God, the will of God. And the blood of Jesus says, uh-uh. He's covered. She's covered. Oh, glory. Glory. The blood never stops speaking. You realize the blood of Abel is still talking today? How much more is the blood of Jesus? Oh, my. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to draw nigh to God. And as we do, we're going to get more and more holy. But as we do, we're going to get more and more of a heart of God. A heart for compassion on people who are bound up, who are lost and undone. And they're going to come into this place and you're going to love them. Supernaturally, not because you're trying to or you know you're supposed to, but because of the grace of God in your life. And they're going to come in here and they're going to say, I don't know what's going on, but I feel something different. And that love is going to cover them. What does it say about the love of God? It covers a multitude of sins. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I thank you, Lord, that you're showing us how we can draw nigh unto you like we've never drawn nigh before. And in that reality of closeness, in that reality of nearness that is not just church day or church night, but it's 24/7. It's every breath we take, you're breathing truth into us. Lord, you're going to turn all of the places around us into a harvest field. I feel it. I believe it. We're going to see people saved. We're going to see people delivered. We're going to see people healed because Jesus is going to be exalted and he's going to draw all men unto him for your glory. And Lord, we're excited. We're willing. We say we will submit to you. We will yield to your spirit. And as you show up and show out, I thank you in advance for what's going to happen. I thank you for deaf ears and blind eyes and hard hearts being changed. I thank you, Lord, that you promised in Ezekiel chapter 11 that you will give people new hearts. As we help them draw nigh unto you, they will have a heart transplant. They will be changed, and we thank you for it. Father, I ask that you just stir each one of us tonight. Help us to come to a place where we're closer to you than we've ever been. And if we gave up on somebody, if we gave up on some promise, Lord, let tonight be the night that we gird up the loins of our mind and we repent of that and we draw nigh unto you and we let that be rekindled into our life and we say yes to you. Let it be, Father. We ask you in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you come? Would you come to this altar tonight and just make yourself an altar and say, Lord, here I am. I know that I'm standing on the brisk on the edge of something mighty that's fixing to happen. And I want to make sure that I draw nigh to you. I want to change the way I think. I want to change the way I talk, because I want to be used by you to change somebody else. Come on, somebody's here tonight that has gave up on somebody, and God wants to stir you. He wants to cause you to see them saved. See them delivered. He wants to cause you to see the blood of Jesus on them. Tonight, come on. Hallelujah. Come to this altar and say, Lord, I believe you. I trust you. I know, Father God, that you sent your Son to seek and to save that which is lost. Come on, Jesus never fails. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.